Hey y'all, it's Alyssa coming in at the top of the episode to tell you all 2024 has really sucked. I'm usually a fan of even numbered years, but this one hasn't been that great to either of us. Avery is still dealing with her son Charlie, who just turned 3 years old. His hospital trips are becoming less frequent, which is good, but we are still not 100% in the clear yet. I myself have had some family trauma, which has taken a lot of my time and energy to deal with. We hope you can stick with us. We are not promising a timely schedule this time, and who knows when we will record again, but we did want to share what we had recorded earlier this year. The next two episodes were recorded fairly close together, so hopefully I can get them out close together too. Thanks for any support and well wishes you can give. Now, on to the show. Oh, and the audio is what it is. Sorry about that.
Welcome back to Sip Boy, a podcast where I rewatch one of my all-time favorite animes, Inuyasha, one episode at a time and spoiler-free. I'm your cringiest host, Alyssa.
And I am first-time watcher and thirstiest host, Avery. Today we're watching episode 6, Tetsuiga, the Phantom Sword.
Tetsuiga, the Phantom Sword, originally aired in Japan on November 20th, 2000 and October 5th, 2002. Sorry, I'm not used to 2000 just being 2000. October 5th, 2002 at 11 p.m. on Adult Swim. And the contents of the episode is from Volume 2, Chapters 6, 7, and 8.
The whole chapters.
No spillover this time?
Fucking A.
Hey. Hi. It's been a while. I feel like I fell down a well and disappeared from time for a few months.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think that's what happened. It wasn't that my toddler got cancer. It was that I fell down a deep, deep, dark well, and there was a beautiful woman with long, luscious, dark hair and the longest, even longer, spindly little arms that caressed me, and a long, even longer, thin little tongue that licked my face for 2.5 months. I was really worried that I wasn't going to get the thirstiest host. Fuck me. I'm not used to talking anymore. Thirstiest host. I just did it.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
Before we start, I did just want to say, like, thank you so much for being patient for our unfortunate gap. We're doing okay. Carly is recovering pretty well these days. It's going to be a long fucking road, but hopefully we can find some normalcy in all this craziness. So let's talk about anime.
A manime.
Not this time. Maybe next time.
So I decided that I was going to add a segment. I don't remember what I wanted to call the segment.
Oh.
But I want you to rate Kagome's outfits.
Ooh.
And you're going to rate them with jewel shards.
I like it. Out of how many jewel shards? Because there's like 10,000 drill shards, right?
Yes. So
I can't do math.
I think I wanted 10 to be like the most powerful outfit and one to be, but we could also just do 5.
No. Sorry. I wasn't making a face at your assessment. I was thinking of her outfit.
I have them for you. Oh my God. And I have a little jewel shard.
You're like a professional.
From now on, this is what we will do when the outfits appear in the episode, but these are backtracking.
We have 6 outfits to discuss. Actually, more than that, because she has multiple outfits in some of the episodes.
Yes.
All right, so episode 1, she was sporting a very cute pink sweater with little red bows on the collar and on the sleeves, and some questionable gray slacks.
I would say that those are jersey sweatpants.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. I like that a little bit better.
Yeah.
I thought they were like pants, or was like,
no, she's definitely in knock-around clothes at home.
Okay. Power-wise, is not a powerful look per se, unless you're talking, you know, the sort of effortless cool thing. I'd say it's a, let's give it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
Later in that episode, we have the very classic schoolgirl outfit. It's a good look. It's a powerful look. I don't love how short the skirt is. It looks like a peasant top, quite honestly. But in a way, it's kind of powerful because of that. It's power in the pussy.
Sure.
School sticks.
Okay.
You know, baseline, but a little bit heavier. Okay. You know, I love the number three, the episode three, the flares, the red flares, and the flared sleeves of the, help me with the word.
Shrine Maiden.
Shrine Maiden, thank you. Outfit. Definitely more powerful. I would say that's a 7.
Okay.
Making room, you know. Episode 4 is an episode outfit that I forgot about because it's on very briefly, but she's got a very cute yellow cropped cardigan over a button-down collared white shirt and a fucking adorable black skirt with little black and white rectangles all around on the hem, bitch. Like, it's not exactly a powerful outfit, but it is very...
We can say cutest as well if powerful's too... I was just thinking shards were powerful, but...
I know.
But it doesn't have to be powerful.
I think it has to be powerful.
Does it?
Yeah. You already set the standard, and I've already gotten through three outfits, so I can't change now.
We can change anything. It's our podcast.
No, I'd say I like this outfit a lot. I would certainly wear this outfit. I'm going to call it a 6.
It's good.
Okay.
I think it's on the same level as the school uniform. Next is the My Boyfriend's Hoodie on My Head book, which is the same outfit, but with Inuyasha's hoodie on her head. I mean, fire rat hair.
Nick said that was cheating, but I think it adds.
It does. It absolutely adds. It's an 8. She's also literally more powerful.
Yeah.
I gotta say, the outfit that she's got on for this, I guess, trio of episodes, I'm not a big fan of. I do like the sweater, generally, but I don't love the skirt with it. I think it makes her look a little silly. So I'm going to give this a 4.
Okay.
Even though she is, I will say, extremely powerful this episode, the outfit itself, I would not look at that and be like, bet you work in. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, threw two things on. Good for you.
Okay. Awesome.
Do you have a commentary on my commentary?
No. Mm-hmm. Other than this episode's outfit is probably one of the cuter ones that's still like close to her uniform.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
The pink
is being too harsh.
No. My favorite is always going to be anytime she throws Inuyasha's robe over herself, which may or may not happen again.
I'm assuming it will.
And skirts are a staple for her.
Sure.
So
I just need to get over the mini skirt prejudice that I have. Because I do have a prejudice against mini skirts. But it's, you know, somewhat the
patriarchy.
Yeah, that. But I was gonna say the genre. You know.
Even though we haven't seen any panties.
We have not seen any panties, which is shocking and admirable, and I'm really excited about it. But I do need to talk about some things today. Miyoga, I'm looking at you. But we're yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Shall we start at the start?
Yes.
By the way, it occurred to me that I still haven't actually watched the official intro. We were going to do that. We were going to do a lot of things.
So much has happened. It's been 5 months?
No. Really?
We last recorded in November.
No.
Yeah.
No. I don't like that.
I'm sorry.
I wish she hadn't said that.
We last recorded in November before we took our holiday break.
Yes. And then the holiday break became a baby sickness break.
Yeah.
All right. So first note I have is, hi, Miyoga, the new narrator, which I actually think Miyoga as narrator is a pretty good thing. He's literally a fly on the wall, so it kind of works out.
It does. The subversion of Miyoga's voice is a lot deeper. And so I do think that's a little bit more richer. And I know this voice actor in the dub does other characters, and therefore the Miyoga character has to be very
specific. Yeah.
As well, it's a character voice.
Yeah. So it's kind of annoying.
So annoying.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the fact that we're getting like very intense dramatic details with a nasally, high-pitched voice.
How else would you have flea sound?
I can't imagine. Literally, physically can't imagine. But that's why I'm not a professional.
Valid.
I did like the recap this time, not just because I haven't watched an episode of Inuyasha in a while, but we didn't get like specific clarity that Sesshomaru specifically did his plan to piss off Inuyasha. Like, it was sort of like, oh, there's mysterious purposes behind this, but like Miyoga was like, he did this to rile him up, basically, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I did not enjoy rewatching Sesshomaru hurting the big boy again. Mm-hmm. It makes me sad every time. He says you're worthless. He expects me these days. Poor big boy.
That seems to be his go-to wording.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing. I was going to say, makes me think that he's got some self-confidence issues. So he keeps going around telling other people that they're worthless.
That is an interesting take.
We'll see.
I think in our day and age, it would probably be that.
Yeah. But back or maybe then, he's just an asshole.
Probably was more entitled than not.
Sure. Yeah, that's legit. So after the, do you have anything else to say about the intro?
I didn't really take any notes on the intro other than obviously that doesn't happen in the manga.
Oh, sure.
And yeah, nothing.
It's okay. Oh, you're good. So we enter into the story on the villagers, which is kind of interesting. I was having a little bit of trouble remembering why the villagers even were like involved.
I think it's literally just to show the fact that Kagome is missing and that they care.
Okay. It's pretty touching that they give a shit.
Yeah. You know, it's like she was there. Mm-hmm. They were having a very heated conversation in Lady Kaede's cabin.
Mm-hmm. And then they both ran away.
Yeah. And then they haven't seen her for hours. It's the middle of the night. There may have been some kind of feeling of a demon attack. I don't know how close they were to the village. But if the villagers saw the Oni and everything, then maybe they were like...
That tracks, actually. Also, if they correctly do not trust Inuyasha, so they may have been like, hey, man, if this chick got slashed by this dude, like, we should probably go help her.
Yeah.
So, okay, that tracks. They find Kagome's bike, and they just kind of, like, stand around looking at it.
Because they don't know what it is.
Because they don't really know what to do with it. But they're like, that's hers, I know it.
Yeah.
And then we go to the past. No, the future.
Mm-hmm. The present.
The present. To Kagome's house, where her mommy is fixing up her own bike for her daughter, so that when she comes home, she has a bike to ride. And it's so cute and refreshing.
You have no idea how great Kagome's mom is.
I'm so excited. She's so sweet. She's so caring.
Yeah. I'm trying really hard not to give away spoilers this time.
You're a good one.
Okay.
You keep going with it. Fight the good fight.
Thanks. I wrote down that we finally find out that Sota is in the third grade.
Because his mom made fun of him for pissing the bed. I was like, that's fucking rude. It made me laugh. It was such a like younger sibling thing to say. He was like, I'm so glad I don't make you worry about me, which is like sibling for, I guess I'm the favorite kid now, right?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you bitch. Fucking piss baby.
I'm in third grade. I haven't done that in a while, mom. It's like, oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
I do your laundry, just so you know. I don't know if you know this, but I do your laundry.
Yeah, probably. I said, wonderful mom and should be protected at all costs.
Yes, correct.
The dub, she says, to be happy and to win the lottery. And in the sub, she just says, to win the lottery.
It's like...
And she also refers to Kagome going to the other dimension, not the past.
Yeah.
Which is...
We were talking about that last episode. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a curious question that I doubt is going to be answered. So, at least, especially concerning, I think it was the sub that specifically said dimension, and then the dub was like over there.
Yeah.
They were like, we're not going to comment.
But the dubbed is the one that said alternate version of Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last time. So, it's like now they're one for one of saying this is a strange universe. Strange world.
Question mark.
And again, this scene is not in the manga.
Oh, really? Okay.
The manga literally picks up where we left off in the pretty, pretty place with Kagome on the ground and Inuyasha talking to his mom.
Yep. Which is where we now go.
Yeah.
She's like trying to move and, you know, speak and all this stuff.
Which she?
Oh, I'm sorry. Kagome.
Okay.
Sorry. Kagome is on the ground incapacitated and trying to speak. And she's like, Inuyasha, Inu. And then I was like, oh, she called him Inu. It was her first pet name.
Yeah.
Well, other than Dog Boy.
Yes. The thing I wrote down for that is in the manga, Inuyasha is told to look into the water and he sees that she doesn't have a face.
That so early?
That happens a lot earlier in the manga. And he instantly starts to fight her and she puts her hands in it. In his back. Whereas in the anime,
interesting,
they let it stew.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. No, the dramatic tension is intense. So is there the flashback to him being a little baby?
Oh. We don't get any of that. The only thing we get about him being a baby is right before Kagome breaks the spell in the water.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, which version did you think was like...
I think the anime took its time a little bit more and they wanted to flesh out some backstory.
Yeah.
They wanted the characters to be a little richer and to give more meaningfulness to Inuyasha's past.
Which I appreciate.
It's probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Like this episode has not been one of my favorite ones in the past, but now that I've seen it so many times along with the next episode.
Yeah.
It's so nice to be able to see baby Inuyasha.
He's so fucking cute.
So cute in like, his little outfit.
Well, and, you know, not to get personal, but he's very, like, the size and shape of Charlie. And I sit with Charlie on my lap with him facing out for me all the time.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's a very well done flashback, in my opinion, while also being very ominous and creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they did a really good job with it. It's hard to do flashbacks, I think, a lot of the time. They come off as cheesy or, you know, telling instead of showing or whatever. But this was very showing.
I would say this is more showing, as you just said. But
bad flashbacks tell.
Yeah.
This was not. I really felt like this was very, like, almost artsy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very well done, I think.
It's all misty because it's been so long. So
yeah.
That's also a good indicator of him trying to, like, weed through his own memories and not having any crisp backgrounds because that's not important to the memory. The only thing that's important and the only thing that's completely drawn out for us is his mom.
And they're like that one moment of intimacy, I guess two moments of intimacy, she just like grasps onto, like, leech, like, honestly, which is pretty cool, I guess. I was just going to say, like, it's hard to watch at times because, like, I think he understands that there's something kind of wrong, but he wants his mommy.
Yeah.
And he kind of, it almost seems like he lets this happen a little bit. Because he has that moment of like, when she
puts
her hands into him like bread dough. I mean, it's a gross wish. It's very effective.
In the sub, it says, be a good boy, let mother hold you tight.
Mm-hmm.
On the soft side, as he nods and turns to embrace her. And she says, become one with me.
Gross.
Very.
Didn't like it.
Yeah.
I like the dub a lot better.
Yeah. I held you to my heart just as I'm doing now. I'll never let go. Is what the dub was.
Not ever.
Yeah.
It's like, da-na-na-na.
And so that's the part that happens earlier, slash, it's not really that emotional in the manga because, as I said, he looks in the water, instantly sees that she doesn't have a face. He does. And
it's fighting.
He does see himself as a kid for a split second, but then he sees her and he whips around and he's like, what are you? Who are you? You're not. And she has her arms around him and puts her hands into him and he kind of just falls.
Knocks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like this version. It feels a lot more insidious versus, you know, just another monster to fight.
Yeah.
Like, I think that they made it complicated because of, you know.
And it is.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's just a monster, but the monster has his mom's face.
Yeah. And she also loves him.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit more. But, like, I think she genuinely loves him. She just doesn't know how else to do that.
As well, she's literally being instructed to by somebody else. So her feelings are genuine, but her reason for having those feelings are being manipulated both to her and by her.
Yeah, I think that's legit. Complicated.
I did a little research about the outfit she's wearing.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
So the outfit, I counted, only has 6 layers.
Only 6.
Well, The robe styling is actually called the 12-layer robes. Mm. So there's supposed to be 12 layers. It is a popular style from the Heian period in Japan, which is 794 to 1185 EC. I don't know what EC means, but...
Not CE.
I copied and pasted directly from the article I was reading. It probably has the actual link, but... The main difference between Heian noble women's clothes and what later noble women were wearing up until the Edo period is pants. Heian noble ladies wore red pants and plain underrobes, which you've already pointed out in your previous research, which are called...
Katsura?
Yes. And Inuyasha's signature red outfit seems to also be from the Yeah, the Heian period. Sorry. And it's called a Tsukokin. Tsuyokin.
Yeah, I started looking up the phonetic pronunciations and then writing them down in my notes, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Come across once in a while. I did that for Tetsuika, by the way.
Oh.
I was fucking mad from last time.
Sorry about that.
Sesshomaru. I didn't want to be caught with my Tetsuika.
Yeah, I wouldn't have let you do that for very long.
Thanks.
So there are clothes that noble boys would wear back in that time period.
Mm.
So the person in the article thought that Inuyasha was possibly from this time period, which would be around, 200 to 300 years before. So it kind of matches.
Yeah.
Like if her styling was still, it just verifies that Inuyasha's age is probably closer to 200.
Yeah.
As well as I don't know if she mentioned it completely, but the fact that his clothes are the same as a kid's, like, it probably indicates that Inuyasha's mom died when he was younger and he just never changed his style. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Man, not here to get bummed out. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So.
Very sad.
Yeah. His mom is definitely wearing pants under there.
That's cool.
Then Edo period happened and women decided that we won't wear pants anymore.
No, thank you, pants.
We'll just wear robes.
Let's be free. That is really, really cool, though. That's pretty. We'll put that up on the post.
So, yeah. Sorry about my pronunciations.
We are doing our best.
The illusion slips and Kagome struggles to get free. Miyoga shows up and tries help Kagome.
Sorry. The illusion slips free and we see tiny little beepies running around. Beepies chaining her to the ground and they're in a swamp.
Yeah.
Not a pretty place. And there's a bunch of dead stuff and salamanders.
Oh, yeah. I bet you loved the skull scene.
I did.
Yeah. It looks great. Wriggle, wriggle.
And then it's me, Miyoga, the flea. I was like, that's a little. I didn't know he was a rhyming little flea as well. This was the part that I didn't like, that Miyoga was like, I should help her. But while she's incapacitated, I was like, come on, fucking pervert. So, like, there is a slight difference in the sub versus the dub. The sub is decidedly more rape culture-y than the dub. Mm-hmm. Like, the dub is like, we should do this. But, and then that happens. But in the sub, he's like, now that she's incapacitated, I can fight her so much easier. I was like, oh, man, come on.
Yeah, I wrote...
I didn't write down any lines, but it was just like...
I wrote down, this is a very creepy old man moment that gets a pass because the old man is the size of a thumbtack.
I guess.
And he breaks the fourth wall, question mark?
When?
I'm pretty sure, like, as he's like, oh, this is a dreadful situation we're in. Inuyasha's mother is not her mother and Kagome's just here. So bound. And so much blood.
Disgusting.
So, like, talking to himself, but it also felt like he was breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
I think that's probably not unintentional.
Yeah. In the manga, he says, remember me, Miyoga, Divine Grace, the flea?
Oh, my God.
That is his
fucking guy. Fucking guy. Hate this guy.
Uh-huh.
I was very happy when she smacked the shit out of him again.
You know, I'm less paralyzed than I thought.
Baby's goats run away. That's what I wrote. Inuyasha is getting...
Sorry, there's a dog in the studio.
Me mother. Maybe wishes I could subsume her into my titties. Which is what's happening to Inuyasha.
Yeah.
How'd you like that that
lovely segue?
Yeah. And Jaken comes rowing up on a boat. Motherfucker. and smacks the shit out of the faceless mommy.
No soul sucking till I tell you.
And she goes, sorry. I die laughing. It's so squishy and gross how he, like, it literally is bread dough. It's so creepy. Like, I saw something online that described it as gelatinous. So I was like, it's not jelly.
No.
It's bread dough because it doesn't break. It just squishes.
In the manga, it leaves, like, in the anime, there's a marking of crease and it kind of looks like it starts to slowly fall back.
Yeah.
And in the manga, the dent is left as if
he, like, really fucked her up.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And then it kind of goes away.
Oh.
But it takes longer and it's a lot more indented.
Hmm. Good job.
So more violent in the manga.
Always. So she is like, sorry. I know. And Jaqen's like, literally just announces the plan. Which I was like, straight up.
It's fine.
Straight up.
There's no humans lurking around who can trample me.
Bitch, gaga. So yeah, Jaqen is like, yeah, we're using you to find out where the tomb is. And wait, does he not, when does she squish him? Right then? No, it's later.
Sorry. The Unmother is told to push.
Yes, that's right. Because the next line I was like, she's holding him up by his titties with her 10-foot arm in his dreams.
But mother, I can't breathe.
He literally looks like he's got titties. She's got them all like under the ribcage. So it's like,
I did not see titties, but.
Oh, I always see titties. Yeah. That's just a side effect of being this guy. So yeah, he's like, push. And she's like, okay, I'll push a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And he says he doesn't know where the tomb is. And then
she wraps her hands a little bit more and we see a pearl.
He says, what's that? He says, black pearl on the right or mm-hmm. in the right, depending on which version you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she has to go deeper. That could break his spirit.
First off, she relays this to Jaqen, yes. And he says, that doesn't make any sense. He must be tricking us.
Which,
but he doesn't know. He's in a trance.
Jaqen is the, like, quintessential, like, lower-level employee that shits on the lowest-level employee
mm-hmm.
because they get shit on all the time.
And she says, it could shatter his soul. And he says, then shatter it.
That's a hard line.
Mm-hmm.
That is a hard, hard line. And so she does, kind of. She starts, like, choking him, does the silly spaghetti arms all over his body, and then chokes him from below, which mm-hmm. is a crazy maneuver, which breaks the illusion, and Inuyasha can see that she doesn't have a face.
Because he's finally kind of starting to fight back.
Yeah, because he can't fucking breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a fight reflex like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. There ain't no flight there. It's all fight.
All fight.
At that point, that's when Kagome comes up like a badass, plucks the staff out of his hand, and fucking golf drives him into the sewer. Like, not the sewer. I wish it was the sewer. It was the swamp. And she's, you mean stupid little toad.
I wrote down that she calls him a toad in every translation. So that is across the board. He is a toad.
He is a toad. I did really enjoy the Jaqen scream in the sub. I don't know if you noticed, but it was pretty funny. It was like, oh.
I did not. But thank you for that rendition.
We'll have to pull it because okay. It'll probably be better.
I wrote down that in the anime, you see an arm and a leg sticking out. And in the manga, it's only a hand. He's like that much absorbed by the time they start talking.
I seem to remember that. Yeah. I seem to remember a lot about this storyline now that I've gotten to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember really liking it. But I remember him. I remember being like, that dude's dead.
Yeah.
Dude ain't coming back. She's stuffing him into her boobs. Just, we got to get the fuck out of here. And Kagome literally tries dragging him out by his hair, which made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if that happens in the manga, if he's that far in.
But it does not. She doesn't get the chance to grab. Mm-hmm. Instead, she's just told to break the illusion.
Yes.
And that's when she sees the infant image of Inuyasha and she's like, is that him? And then she decides to break it.
Yes.
I wrote down, Miyoga tells her to say something that would bond his, like, awaken his spirit.
Mm.
And I was like, why didn't she just say Sip Boy? Since that bound his
what would happen?
Spirit to her, just right? Tear
through her bread dough body just onto the floor.
It probably didn't happen because that's too many physics as well as Sit Boy is kind of a comical thing right now.
Right, yeah.
But
in my pull brain, it out in a dramatic moment would be a like, little...
You said to awaken his spirit and
power.
He's also bound his spirit, so why didn't you do it?
That's a really good question. It's a wasted opportunity. It ain't a Sit Boy-less episode.
I know!
This was a possible opportunity for that.
It was.
At this point, we learned that the fake mommy is called the Unmother, which is a very cool name. Born from the grief of losing children to famine and war, she seeks to fill the void within herself by taking the spirits of others. I was intrigued, so I looked into this a little bit. I learned a lot of things. We talked earlier today, and you're like, oh, is it a thing? And I was like, question mark. Mm-hmm. Because there's not a whole lot in the way of stories or history about what is called the Mu'ona, which is like literally non-mother or like not mother. So it was kind of hard to tell if it was actually an invention of this franchise or if it's just kind of a lesser known folktale that's been overrun by Inuyasha content. Like basically Mu'ona as a folk legend has been choked out by Inuyasha content. Okay. It's impossible to find anything that is not Inuyasha related, basically. Everything that mentions Mu'ona is just describing what happens in this episode.
Okay.
So I couldn't tell you if this specific oni is real or not oni, sorry, yokai is real or not, but it's definitely mentioned a lot and people like it a lot. And it's been kind of welcomed into the concept of Japanese urban legends. They call it an urban legend more often than they call it folklore, which tells me that it's kind of a newer, not necessarily historical thing. That said, there's a lot of similar figures like this in Japanese folklore, like faceless ghosts and, taking the form of beautiful women and stuff like that. I mean, there are a lot of really cool stories. The one that is the most famous is No Perebo, which is a form that yokai Mugina, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're basically shape-shifting badger trickster demon things. They're a lot like fox demons. Fox demons are also No Perebo. They take the No Perebo form literally to fuck with humans. No Perebo means literally flat or featureless. Okay. That's what that means. Or faceless in this context. But they literally just do it to fuck with people. They're tricksters and they're assholes. So the most famous story that I found a bunch of times is called Mugina. But it tells of a guy that's hiking and he comes across a young lady who's crying. She's a young woman, young girl, crying and forlorn. He tries to help her out and she turns to face him. She has nothing on her face. And he runs fuck away, runs down the mountain, and he comes across a noodle vendor, soba vendor, and he's telling the vendor about the story, but he's so freaked out that he can barely get through it. And he's just what? And the guy's like, what happened? And he's like, it's terrifying, this lady and her face and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh. And he starts stroking his own face and he goes, did it look anything like this? And the features melt away and he goes, smooth-faced. And then suddenly the light went out is how the story ends.
Oh, gosh.
Here's some really cool pictures, by the way. It's classic faceless folklore.
I wonder if that just became a thing because I don't know if you know this, but drawing faces can sometimes be really difficult. They were like, oh, I'll just fuck it up if I...
Yeah, no, it was a folk tale.
Yeah.
Yes. No, there's been actually some... No, there's been sightings, documented sightings of... Mm. Of Mugina all the way up through 1959, there was a sighting in Honolulu. A reported witness watched a woman combing her hair in the woman's restroom. When the witness came close enough, the Mugina turned, revealing her featureless face.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. And there's even a Monster High character. That's what No Perebo.
Oh,
it's a faceless ghost.
Yeah,
hot girl. It's really weird.
Interesting.
Yeah, I tried to get a picture, but it didn't load. The only other thing that I found that was relevant, one of the sources that I was reading about Mu'ona suggested that it was inspired by Ubume, which are ghosts of women who died in childbirth. I did not pull pictures of this one because it was gory as fuck, and I was like,
Yeah.
But basically the concept being that a mom dying during childbirth would be so grieved and anxious and full of love lost that this would create a wandering spirit that will find travelers and ask them, she'll go up to a traveler and say, can you hold my baby for just a moment? And the traveler would take the baby, she would disappear. And then the traveler would be carrying the baby. It would get heavier and heavier and heavier until it would be impossible to hold. And then the traveler would look to find that it was just a stone that they were carrying. Mm. No. And then in some stories, they say, like, she can steal babies from mothers to be her own, which may be what inspired the Muon.
Yeah.
So, like, it's this sort of, like, grief and love mixed together
mm-hmm.
to be kind of hunting for new babies to take care of.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting, like, connection. Also, I found a really interesting looking book called Where the Wild Ladies Are. It's all about, like, women in Japanese folklore.
Wow.
Yeah. By Ayoko Matsuda.
Okay.
Probably gonna check it out. It sounds pretty cool. So, you understand now why I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
But also no.
Yeah.
I don't know. If anyone knows for sure whether or not, you know, there is background with the Muono, but it really does seem, at least for our intents and purposes, like it's mainly an Inuyasha thing.
Yes. I've been doing a little bit more reading about certain things, and one of the articles I found basically said that Rumiko Takahashi does take from Japanese folklore and mythology and stuff, but she mostly uses it as inspiration and is making her own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which we kind of saw with the hair demon and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like she's taking these aspects and then reading from them, which is, you know, most good writers.
Yeah. I just feel bad because like thought we were going to get into it, but I guess we're still getting into it. We're just learning the differences between the two and what it's become.
Exactly. And like, I just love learning different folklore stories and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. it's no skin off my nose. Seriously. Okay. I love it. I love learning these stories that probably subconsciously even inspired some of these monsters. It's good shit, good shit.
So much good shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up something in the manga real fast just to make sure I didn't get it wrong because I wrote it down. In the manga, she's referred to the Muona
mm-hmm.
and
Muona
or the Nothing Woman.
Yeah, which is also really cool.
And in me double checking that it was in fact the Nothing Woman, I saw that Kagome does try to pull Inuyasha out by his hair, so I just lied.
Good.
It happens very
it's a really good detail. She's like, handle. That's the second time she's used his hair as a handle.
Yeah.
The mommy says, soon we'll be together always. So it's so good. And Kagome looks over and sees baby Inuyasha and spanks the water and breaks the illusion. So she doesn't. She goes,
it. Okay.
Would you rather I say whack?
No, that's fine.
Want me to whack off the water instead?
So much. I was interested because this scene was actually censored when I was a kid.
Oh, right. Because titties.
Well, not just the titties, but also just the grotesqueness of him being ripped from her. It's basically childbirth again through her chest.
Yikes.
So when I was a kid,
as a participant in that.
Would you like it to come from there?
No.
Okay. It has her scream and throw her head back, and then it cuts to Inuyasha being on the ground.
Oh.
Yeah.
So confusing.
You kind of just get like a... and then him going... So you don't know how he comes out. You just know he's out.
Right. Like, instead you could surmise, but man, it's such a good... And he's literally tearing her body
up. Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up. Very good.
So
good to see.
Yeah.
Had to think about experiencing.
Yes. But I was like, oh, yeah, I don't remember seeing that. I would have remembered seeing it.
I don't know if you noticed the difference in the sub versus the dub with this next little bit, but in the dub, he's mad at the mom. And in the sub, he's only mad at Sesshomaru and Jaqen. But I was like, he's taking it out on his mommy. He doesn't mean it, but he means it. It's like, how could you?
I don't know if he's taking it out on his mom, but he is taking it out on her. Like, he's holding her accountable.
Right. I know. But, like, transference and all that.
Yeah.
But in the sub, he's like, how could they use my mother like that?
In the dub, his voice is heart-wrenching to me.
No.
How dare she? You pretended to be... I fell for it. I can't believe I thought she was my...
It's a good line read.
And he's shaken. He's visibly shaken. You see his eyes.
They were like glazed over at first. And then he like focuses and he's so hurt.
And then he starts to look for Sesshomaru.
Mm-hmm. Who shows up like a bitch. He's like... Mm-hmm.
In the manga, that's the end of one of the chapters, and as he shows up, he literally grabs Inuyasha by the throat like he does in the anime, but he says, "I know where the tomb is. I can't believe I didn't see it before. Can you imagine Shishomaru being so blind?"
Interesting.
So he refers to himself as the third person.
Of course he does. He's Lord Shishomaru.
He's just like smiling very wickedly.
He says, "All this time beneath our very noses, or to be technical, above our very own nose, right above," one might say. I was like, "Oh, you got the quips. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right." I'm used to watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I could hear it in Sarah Michelle Gellar's voice.
Yes. The clue in the manga is a little confusing for me when I read it, but maybe it'll sound better spoken or you can explain it. The clue is, "A place one cannot see, yet cannot be seen. A place its own guardian cannot look upon."
I mean, technically.
Yes. I just feel like the first two parts say the same thing. So why repeat them?
Yeah. I definitely think the other version, I can't remember the wording, but I'm sure you have
visible but invisible, a place the grave's own guardian cannot see.
Yeah, which flows better for sure. It makes more sense.
And Shishomaru realizes that Inuyasha didn't know about the pearl and claims it is a thing their father would do, and then offers for them both to go to see the grave.
I was curious about that. And he was like, do you want to come with me? I was like, I'm confused by the...
I think it's a older sibling.
Intention there.
Maybe just like a shitty...
Yeah.
You had this all along and you didn't use it.
Oh, so why don't you come on? I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah, Shishomaru grabs Inuyasha by the neck and extracts the right, or the black pearl from his right eye with his cool lightning from his snatched little manicure.
I don't know if you remember from the manga what happens.
No.
There's no lightning.
Yeah.
He
just like peels his fucking pupil out.
He inserts two claws into Inuyasha's
eye.
And when he pulls them out, the pearl is in between his fingers.
Yeah, I do remember that now. And it was just as off-putting for Inuyasha to not have a pupil as this time around.
Yes, but for a while, it's just like a whole bloody mess and he can't even open his eye for several panels. I
forgot about that.
It like slowly heals as they're going through the rest of the story.
It's fucked up.
And then by the end, his eye is fine. So it's also a good indication of how Inuyasha's healing ability works.
Right. Yeah. We see it real time in the manga.
Interesting.
Yeah. I did not remember it being like a literal wound.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. Oh, siblings.
Yeah.
Sibling rivalry. Speaking of the next line of, "You're not amused." No, I'm not. Versus like the Shishomaru literally calling it a joke. It was just a joke. I was like, man, you're an asshole. And then Dai being hopefully less sibling energy, but not. He's just like, Dai. He's like, oh no.
Did you never say that to your others?
I think so. We weren't that kind of siblings. We were just like, hey, fuck you, man.
Similar energy, but more harsh wording.
Less dramatic.
Yeah.
Yes, Shishomaru whips Inuyasha, and the Unmother jumps in front of him. He says, "The Unmother jumps in and saves Inuyasha, frowny face. She loved him like her own child, frowny face. Protecting a child is what a mother can't help but do, frowny face." And then I said, she exploded in chunks, which is what she do.
In the anime, Shishomaru uses the whip to finish off her head, and in the manga, he steps on it.
It's unnecessary. Like, it's just kind of shitty. He's like... Like, she's done. She's done in. And he's just, like, done. Like, unnecessary.
And the fabric falling on Inuyasha's shoulder lives rent-free in my brain always. It's just such a pretty...
It's very pretty, and it's very tragic.
My boy.
Squish. Yeah, the fact that he, like, touches it later is very, very good. Baby gets a staff back. I mean, Shogun gets a staff back. He goes, "Hi, me lord." So Shishomaru opens the portal by stabbing the pearl.
Yeah. So first off, Inuyasha calls Shishomaru a bastard.
Yes.
And this is the first time that actually happens.
Well, technically earlier he says,
bat. Yeah. He calls him a bastard. And last episode I told a story and it didn't transition very well onto the episode. So we had to cut it. But they also didn't say it. So I'm now telling you the story.
Oh, please.
Again.
Okay.
So Inuyasha taught me that word, but I didn't know what it meant other than it's something you call somebody who's a jerk.
Oh, no.
And we were watching Alias one evening. My quote-unquote older sister, who was living with us at the time, she was a friend, a kid of one of my mom's best friends.
Gotcha.
And she's 12 years older than me, and I was 12. So we're watching TV. A scene is happening. It's very dramatic. People are about to kiss. I was a romantic, no matter what age I'm in. And somebody walks in and ruins the moment. And I just scream, "You bastard." And she flips her shit and wants to know where I learned that word and what do I know. And
oh no.
I was like, "I don't know. It's what?" And she's like, "It's somebody who's an illegitimate child." And I'm like, "Oh, that makes sense why Inuyasha would use that or know that word." So
yeah, it's true.
But yeah, Alias almost outed. I almost outed myself as an anime watcher while watching Alias.
As of Alias?
Yeah. So next part. Kagome starts yelling at Shishomaru for being a murderous dick.
Like, speaking of being a badass.
And I wrote, Miyoga tells her to shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. You're gonna kill me. I don't care about you.
Yeah, in the manga, she calls him a rotten murdering, and then it, like, trails off as Miyoga's like,
shut the fuck up.
And then Shishomaru calls for Jaken, and he sneaks around and he has the staff, and they go to open the portal. In the manga, as Jaken comes back with the staff, he says, "Clever lad that I am, milord. I found the head staff again." And Shishomaru looks at him and says, "Next time, you'll lose your own head with it."
I mean, that's honestly fair. Like,
also, the heads look so small in Shishomaru's hand.
Yeah.
Like,
and so big. With Jaken.
He says, "How long I've waited for this." And then the old man laughs.
It's creepy, actually. Mm. It's kind of good.
Oh, I forgot. In the manga, Jaken says, when the old man's laughing. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I have to look it up. It's really, really funny.
Yeah, it says the old man laughs, which means a tomb will open.
It says the old man's laughing. That means the seal's a kraken.
Oh, my. This fucking guy. I hate him in the exact way that I hate my dog, which means that I love him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big fucking portal opens up and Shishomaru and Jaken jump on in. And it's really cute, the build up to that moment of Inuyasha being like, "Say your prayers, Shishomaru. What you say here is too dangerous for you." And then she's already got her fucking foot inside. She's like, "Are you coming? You're so slow.
What are you waiting for?"
And then they go floating into space and continue bickering, which is everything.
In the manga, he says, "Idiot, Shishomaru's in there." And she said, "Well then, if I'm gonna pound him, I better be there too."
I'm not gonna say that the sub Kagome's line is a lot harder than the dub. But that's even harder. She's gonna beat the shit out of him.
What does the sub say in your notes?
I didn't write down the verbatim. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I wrote down what was said in the actual DVD subs. Hmm. "What are you waiting for?" Inuyasha follows. "I'm going to give him a bashing. I won't forgive that heartless freak," is what it says in the DVD.
I feel like the Hulu one was a little less hard than that, but I don't remember.
I was like, wow, heartless freak.
Heartless freak. I mean, he is kind of a heartless freak, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But
And then she adds at the bottom, "Neither blood nor tears flow through him."
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely not on the Hulu version. The dub was basically just like, "I don't care."
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. And then they get to hell.
Yeah.
It looks fucking metal as fuck.
I wouldn't call it hell. This is definitely more of like a Hades.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry.
Is it a bubble dimension? Or is it literally a portal to? Does it only exist in the Pearl, or did it open up portal? Question mark. Regardless, it looks metal.
The way I've always thought about it is the Pearl does contain a portal to the Netherworld, which is like another dimension, like astral or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's its own place. It has its own movement of time and everything. Gotcha. But it is also where bones go.
Just bones?
But if it was like the underworld, then you would also expect souls. So I don't know. It could just be a pocket dimension he put his remains in to keep them safe.
This is my bone place.
Yeah.
I see.
Like a boneyard.
Mm-hmm.
Elephant graveyard.
Kind of jump on just a random passerby skeleton bird. That worked out for them really well. It took them directly to where they want, yeah. As if it were a taxi.
You could think about it as like they're specifically ferrying them.
Oh.
They're only there for that purpose. Or at least they could also just be like mindless moving objects that they jumped on.
Sure.
The manga's really pretty because when they fall through everything, they're falling right side and everything's upside down. And then you realize it's because they're falling upside down.
Oh, cool.
So it is a little bit like...
Topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
I like
through that. The looking glass or whatever.
I like that. They see the most gigantic skeleton of a demon. And she's like, wait, that's your fucking dad? And he goes, what else would they be? In the dub and in the sub, he goes, can't you tell? And what else would they be? I said, literally anything. What are you fucking talking about?
In the manga, he says, father. And she says, what? You mean those bones? That's your father? And he says, can't you see the resemblance? But it's huge.
No, Yasha, you don't look like that. You may think you do, but you do not.
No,
sir.
I think it was more sarcastic.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. In the anime, it is not reading sarcasm. No. It's reading kind of himbo.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's me.
That's my daddy. Don't I look like him? Yes. Also, I forgot I wrote down, they fall and land on a skelodactyl.
And I just wanted to
put that word
in. I love it. Thank you for sharing. I just wrote skelly birds, so I like skeledactyl a lot. Bones are huge because the dad himself is incomparable stature for Miyoga. And we learn first time that the reason Sesshomaru is going in is for the treasure sword hidden inside the dad bod. I don't think that's been mentioned before. They've only just been saying, we gotta find the tomb. We gotta find the tomb. I don't think they mentioned the sword.
No, that is the first time they're mentioning the sword. But when Miyoga is trying to convince Inuyasha to follow, he does say the treasure.
Okay.
And Inuyasha's like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but Milori, he's like, I didn't say I wasn't gonna go.
Yes. That's right.
I just don't care about the treasure. I care about beating this guy for what he made my mom's memory do or whatever.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
So it wasn't an indication of what is in the tomb, but there's something there that is valuable in some way. And
you should go do that.
Yeah.
Different motivations for the same quest.
Mm-hmm.
Get you to the same place. I said the next location because I kind of described locations in all caps, and I wrote Daddy Ribcage full of skulls, so metal, because it looks great. It's a fucking giant ribcage full of skulls.
It is.
It's so good.
And most of those skulls have multiple eye sockets.
I noticed that a lot of them are demons, which is curious.
Well, he was a powerful demon. He probably had to kill a lot of demons to stay powerful. Yeah.
Yum, 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 yum. So Shomaru calls this the sacred sword, which can kill 100 in one stroke. Saika.
In the sub, he says the sword of the fang said to slay 100 beasts in one stroke. And in the manga, he says, at last, my precious, I have found you, my dear Tetsaiga, my steel cleaving fang.
Oh my.
Which is what Tetsaiga means.
Cleaving fang?
The steel cleaving fang. Cool. Tetsu means steel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a steel cleaving fang.
I like it. It's so called because it was forged from the fang of their dad's mouth. Mm-hmm.
The blade is ensorcelled.
Ensorcelled.
The fuck is what I wrote.
I pull it out and he gets the cool light show and nothing happens. And he says the blade is ensorcelled in such a sexy way that I was like, must you? Sir, do you mind? Some of us have lives. It was unnecessary to say it so low and sexy and drawling like that. Come on. Jockin is the only one there.
Yeah.
Who's he saying this for?
The blade is ensorcelled.
Hand on fire, turns around, Inuyasha's there.
He makes an attack and totally fucking whiffs.
Well, of course.
It sucks. It sucks to watch.
He has a lot of feelings and not a lot of focus.
Yes, correct. That is true. And Sesshomaru has the fucking audacity to call him disrespectful. I was like, bitch, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, this is Father's grave. Be respectful is what he says in the sub. And in the manga, have you come to dig your own grave?
He's so sassy.
Yes.
I love him. I hate him, but I love him.
But Sesshomaru is only dodging. right now.
Mm-hmm.
Inuyasha is attacking and Shishomaru is dodging.
Like getting out of the way.
Yeah. And then we learn that, or Miyoga starts to theorize that Inuyasha was meant to have the sword.
Yes. In a very nervous way. Mm-hmm. He's like, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Yeah. So go do that. Whatever.
Inuyasha literally says she couldn't give a shit about the sword.
Mm-hmm. Because it looks like it couldn't cut paper.
What? He gets a little more silly with it in the sub. He goes, this rusty old thing, Tetsu something, I couldn't cut a turnip with it. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay. Turnips? I don't know if turnips are famously soft.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I think it actually might be because they're so hard, they're easy to cut. Like, they can break. You don't have to cut them.
I've never handled a turnip in my like actual life.
Me neither.
We should make turnips.
Make turnips.
Yeah, like prepare to eat turnips.
Oh.
Prep turnips.
There you go.
For eating.
Okay. I thought you meant like grow we them. We
should cook turnips.
Okay. We can try.
Make turnip soup.
Turnip soup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like
find a recipe.
Yeah, I'm going to do some turnip research.
Inuyasha says, good thing you're in a grave because you're going to die. And Shishomaru says,
now, was that aimed at me?
As he dodges the attack.
Yeah, it's big, you know, shitty sibling energy. Mm. The fight in the ribcage is pretty cool.
Yeah.
While it lasts. But Shishomaru continues to be a shit. Calls him, says he fights like you're still a child. Miyoka says, get the sword, it's your birthright. Inuyasha, angry face.
Mm-hmm.
Kagome says, get the dumb sword, it'll piss off your brother. Inuyasha, smiley face with angry eyebrows. And Shishomaru, angry face.
Shishomaru trying to look unbothered until Inuyasha walks past and then, ouch.
So good. And then Jaken goes,
No!
Spell doesn't affect Inuyasha.
But also soul-souledness. Soul-souled. Yeah, it's nothing's happening one way or the other.
No, wait. Screaming, yelling, hand shaking, trying to pull so much light. Commercial break.
Then, like, both before and after the commercial break, Kagome is unhelpfully telling him to stop being a little. She's like, do it better.
Come on.
Try harder.
You're back into it.
Hey, pull the sword. You tried pulling on it?
Lift with your legs. And the light fades. Inuyasha just goes, yo.
I love that. And then he squeezes Miyoga's stupid little fucking head and goes, hey, nothing fucking happened, you little shit. So Shishomaru goes after him.
Mm-hmm.
And Inuyasha tries to attempt on his little tiny feeties.
He's not fast enough.
Not fast enough. And Shishomaru turns him and says, I don't think you've met my poison claws.
Yeah.
So gross. Oh, in the sub, he says, my poison claws will sublimate you. I was like,
In the manga, he refers to them as his talons.
No.
Yeah. And it does kind of look like a bird hand when he does it.
Mm-hmm. It's not poison, by the way. It's like acid.
Yeah.
It melts the fucking wall.
I don't know if it's supposed to be that they're so poisonous that they're like radiating fumes that melt things, or if it's supposed to be like a literal, like, I have pepper spray in each of my fingernails, let me just,
maybe it's a little, the physics are a little off, but I'm here for it. Just needed to point out poison doesn't usually do that.
That's
to
fair.
Inorganic matter,
it's pretty organic. Actually,
I guess it is bone.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like sulfuric acid.
Yes, but it also doesn't affect the fur of the fire rat robe.
Curious.
Yeah.
Inuyasha runs.
Mm-hmm.
So Shomaru comes out of him, whips the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite part of the episode.
Uh-huh.
Jaken trying to shit talk. And the Kagome stomps his ass into the ground. Mm-hmm. I laughed literally every time. I watched this episode 4 times and I laughed each time.
Don't worry, Milord. It's all taken care of.
You coward.
Why, you?
It's so fucking funny. He looks like a squeaky toy with his go. It's so good. It's my exact style of humor.
Yeah.
She calls him a stinking toad. He calls her a stinking human. I keep interrupting you.
In the subbed, he refers to her as a wench, and in the manga, he calls her a witch.
Oh.
So that was the only
I like the stinking toad, stinking human.
It's a good
dichotomy.
Repertoire they have. Verbal joust. Shishomaru is now kind of fed up, and he wants to move forward. He throws his claws into Inuyasha's gut, and the finger movement as he goes in for the kill.
We gotta put the sound effect in.
Yeah.
Crunchy, crunchy, crunchy.
In the dubbed, he says, die. In the subbed, he says, disappear. Ooh. And in the manga, he just refers to them as his talons.
Talons, my preciouses.
And Kagome's been knocked down to the ground.
Can I just say the way he says die? Unnecessary. Continue.
Kagome is knocked down and she tries to get up and she uses the sword to brace herself. And she's like, I'm not finished with you, little one. I'm going to get you, you toad. And then she notices that Inuyasha's about to get got. And she rushes forward. Whinks.
It's so cute how she says whoops. It's so cute.
Everything stops.
Yeah.
It just came out. Sorry.
It's so cute. And then Jockin does the emoji that is colon capital V. And then Kagome says, now what? And I said, what indeed?
She checks out the sword and it fades to black.
Cliffhanger. I like this episode a lot. I know you said that you weren't a huge fan of it before, but like, I'm impressed by how much they managed to put into this episode without it feeling overburdened. In my opinion, it didn't. Like, I scared the shit out of you because I thought it was two episodes that I had already seen.
Oh, yeah.
Because it splits so evenly that in my mind, the Unmother stuff happened in an episode, and then we, for some reason, watched just another episode that was the fight. Like, it felt so, like, fleshed out.
That's basically what happens in the manga. Like, the Unmother is one chapter. The fight with Shishomaru about the Unmother is another chapter. And then what happens in the grave is the final chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty evenly paced.
Yeah.
We just get more filler. It's not that I don't like this episode at all. I love it because we get the backstory thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's more like a, okay, we're getting to the plot. Like, we're getting the sword. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
Rather than a, let me sit here and stew on this and wow, this is actually really cool moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little bit breakneck, but it's plotty enough that I felt really, really engaged. Like, you know, I'm a little slut for like dramatic storytelling that just like says, keep the fuck up, let's go. So plus I'm a little slut for a backstory, so it was a good combination of I think it balanced the two really, really well this episode.
Yeah.
And we learn, I mean, we learn, like you said, that most likely, you know, he had at least something of a childhood with his mom. We still don't know what happened to her, but I don't know if we will or not.
She died a long time ago.
She died a long, long time ago, and he, like, refuses to talk about it. So it makes me wonder if there's something to that. But
yeah.
And then we learned that his dad was fucking colossal. I mean, we saw the painting, but, like, it's different seeing how big it is.
Yeah.
Compared and also to their bodies.
The fact that they can fit inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just becomes a room, and then you're like, nope, this is a ribcage. They're in a stomach.
They're in their daddy.
Mm-hmm. He's in the ground. Like,
that's not even his whole thing. Yeah.
Like, there's only a portion of the body. And who knows? Maybe his legs are so long. Like, also, your rib cage only goes to about your waist.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's not the full torso
no,
either.
No, it's not. It's certainly not.
So,
disturbing to think about.
But also, how did he do that? Like, in the manga, they say, Shishomaru says something about, like, him, there must have been a spell put on you to get the pearl into your eye as a kid. And that's such a move dad would do.
Yeah,
like, no wonder you didn't know, basically, type of thing. But it's true, like, he died. Did he leave instructions? Who put the sword, who put that mount into his belly and then put the sword in there? Like, do you see, like, the background?
No, it's a thing.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah,
presented in his belly. Were there things in there? Did some of those people die? Is that, is, are those people's bones?
Yeah, I think so. Those were his little entrusted demon boys that never got out.
Who put the pearl in Inuyasha's? How did the spell happen?
It was Miyoga. That motherfucker.
And yeah, he forgot?
Yeah, he forgot. Look at him.
He doesn't even know.
What we're going to
overestimate Mioka's abilities now. Hey, Alyssa. Are you feeling thirsty?
A little.
I'm not feeling as thirsty today as I hoped, but I still think it's time to go to the lemonade stand. Who are you going to take? I went last time.
Last time you did go first and we ended up picking the same person.
That's true. I have a feeling that won't happen this time. I knew who I'm taking. If you don't, if you need a moment.
Yeah, I really didn't have a lot of thirsty moments.
Unfortunately, I'm going to take the Unmother, mostly because I think she needs a friend. I think she needs an ear and a shoulder, but I don't want to touch the shoulder that she has.
I think she needs some eyes, actually.
We got a Sharpie. I mean, she is able to have face, right?
Yeah.
When she's shapeshifting, it's like a spell that she puts on, right?
Yeah.
Makeup.
Just make sure it's not your mother.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I would, again, it's two for two that I would be driving myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be, you know, we'd be meeting there. I would get a good look at her, and I would keep the engine running until I saw her. Because she looks like my mom, then I'm fucking out.
Yeah.
But if she just, I mean, honestly, even if she just had no face,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not going to marry her. This is just a date. It's okay to have a date, you know,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a good friendship.
Yeah.
Get her a baby doll, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, there's not a whole lot happening in this, but I did like her long, spindly little arms. I did like her voice. I like her maternal instinct. She has great tits. Good, like, fashion.
You know what? I'm going to meet you mom for mom.
Oh.
I'm just going to take Kagome's
mom. Kagome's mom? Yeah. That's a good choice. It's a really good choice.
This lady does so much for her family.
Yeah.
And I doubt she ever takes a moment for herself.
And where is her partner?
We don't know. He gets referred to, but we never really...
Sounds absent to me. Yeah. Sounds like the... Steet's getting a little cool next to her. Maybe Alyssa needs a sweep in on your white stallion. And you think Sota needs a mommy? Second mommy?
Sota would be good with two mommies, I think.
I think so, too. Actually, Gomi would be chill.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Dad would just, or the grandpa would just be confused because I'm pretty sure.
Oh, he'd just think you guys are gal pals.
He's the paternal one. So, like, it would be his son who... Yeah, I'm cuckolding.
True. He would use the word cuckolding if he realized that lesbian relationships can happen. I think he would literally just think you were a cool roommate that moved in. And you're like,
oh, we're cool housewife friends.
She's out here a lot.
That's fine. I don't mind.
I don't know what we'd do without you, Alyssa.
I bring hot pot.
There you go. Exactly. That's all he would care about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next time we will be finishing off this this fight, I assume,
mm-hmm.
and finishing off this 3-part episode, I guess.
Probably. Yeah.
3. And then we'll see what this nasty, rusty, dented fucking sword is going to do, because it doesn't look like much, but I think I remember what happens.
Do you?
I remember Punky Boy.
The alternative of Rusty Boy.
Rusty Thin Boy and Chunky Boy.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not wrong, right?
I don't know.
I guess we'll have to see. Thank you for joining us.
No. You have predictions to make, bitch.
Oh, fuck. Hey, listen, it's been a while.
I know. We haven't formally done predictions, but I did ask you last time, and I do ask you occasionally.
Yes.
So I wanted to keep that going.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember, but Charlie did watch one of these episodes with Shishamaru.
Yeah.
Did he have any input on which brother he liked?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I love that question. We'll watch it together for the next one. I will report back. Now he's speaking a lot more now than he did in November. So
I wanted to know who the goodest boy is in this episode.
Mm.
And I thought we could ask Charlie to pick that for us.
I love that. I will attempt to do so. He is a 2-year-old and therefore plays by his own rules, but
I want toddler wisdom out of this, not actual canonical anything.
Sure.
I just want him to like look at the doggies and be like, that one. That one's a dog.
I really love that. I really love that. You can even
show them the dad and be like, which one is the goodest boy?
And he'll go,
yeah. Yeah.
Which is what he does when he points at things now.
How do you think Kagome pulled the sword out of the stone?
Fucking built different, bitch. She's just better than most.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do think so.
It's not like other girls?
She's not like other girls.
Okay. Do you think Inuyasha will be able to use the sword?
Yeah.
Okay. I wrote these 2 months ago.
No, you're fine. And I feel like I'm cheating by having read the manga and now catching up with my memory.
What do you think will happen if the brothers fight?
I think that, and this is something I don't remember, I think that they'll get into it. So Shomura will start out, obviously, you know, overconfident. And I think Inuyasha will get one good fucking hit on him and it will resolve all confidence that Sesshomaru has, and he'll run like a little bitch under the pretense of whatever, you're not even worth fighting, but it'll be like, you're running.
Yeah. Do you have any other predictions for the next episode?
I think Jaqen will also get the shit kicked out of him a little bit more, because it's always funny.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're gonna get home. That's something I don't know. Is there such a thing as an opposite or an anti-prediction question? How do they go home?
Insane.
If I had to predict, then they're gonna drive another what do you call it, Skeledactyl,
mm-hmm,
up into the portal in the sky. But I think there's a portal
maybe
on the other side.
There's just like a soft spot in the sky,
like an infant's head.
Yeah.
I don't know. I unfortunately, I don't think there's too many things like directions for this to go. I think it's going to be a end of a fight, and then they go home, and then they're both going to be like, whoa, how did this even happen?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Alrighty. I think that's it.
Well, thanks for joining us for this episode of Sit Boy. You can find us on Instagram, Tumblr, TikTok, YouTube. Am I missing any?
Spotify.
Definitely Spotify. You can follow us for our posts. We usually post on especially Instagram and Tumblr. And on Instagram and Tumblr, we post our like visual aids with like images of our folklore. And like last episode had the actual like carved wooden staff of two heads, which is pretty neat. On TikTok, Alyssa's been doing some really awesome videos with like clips of the show merged with clips of the podcast, so those are really, really fun, so definitely follow for that. And then follow on Spotify, really, really helps other people find us, especially if you leave a review. A nice review, please.
Yeah, I don't know where we can read reviews. Do you?
Then I don't know.
All I can see on Spotify is our stars.
Okay.
And we have 4.9 with 15 reviews.
Hell yeah. Keep them rolling, people. Get people paying attention.
Yay.
That's awesome. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You can also send us an email at sitboycast@gmail.com. We love reading emails. Doesn't matter what you write in them, suggestions, you know, questions, anything like that. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Until next time.
See you soon.
Jesus Christ.